I'm Steve Reynolds, pastor of Capital Baptist Church in Annandale, Virginia, and I want to welcome you today to my message on accepting God's invitation. The topic today is accepting God's invitation. You know, as you go through life, you're going to get all kinds of invitations. And, you know, some of those invitations are very, very special. You might get invited to a wedding, or you might get invited to a party, or you might get invited to some special milestone in a person's life. I mean, we get all kinds of invitations. Some of them are that type of invitation that are like individual special invitations. And then, of course, we're bombarded every day with invitations, like through the mail or through social media. I mean, we get all kinds of invitations. But you know what? The greatest invitation you're ever going to receive in your whole life is the fact that, listen, God is inviting you to be part of His work. Do you understand that? God Almighty is inviting you to be part of His work. And listen, this is so important for us to understand, particularly if we're going to listen, experience God. And so this message today on accepting God's invitation is part of a series. Actually, I'm calling it a spiritual growth intensive called Experiencing God. And in this time, we're dealing with the big issue of life for every one of us. And that is, you know, what is the will of God? How can we know the will of God? How can we do the will of God? Well, we're answering that in this series. And part of that is just to realize, hey, God is inviting you, all right? He's inviting you to be part of His work. Now, as we look at this, we're looking at a Bible character named Moses. And more than likely, somewhere along the line in your life, you heard about Moses. And we're using Exodus chapter 3 as the foundation of our Experiencing God time. And we're looking at this incredible example where Moses had an experience with God. And it was the burning bush. I mean, God, you know, Moses was out there. He was doing his job. He was a shepherd. And listen, God did a miracle. God came to Moses and spoke to him out of a burning bush and said, Moses, I've got an invitation I want to give to you. And that's found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Exodus 3, 9 and 10. And I want to read it to you. And I want you to get your mindset on the idea of God is going to step into Moses' life, and He's going to give him a very specific invitation. And this is an invitation for Moses to get involved in God's work. And Moses is going to listen. He's going to know God's will. And listen, he's going to do God's will. But let's read about this invitation in Exodus 3. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. And verse 10 is what I call our key verse for today. Here it says in Exodus 3, 9 and 10. And I just love this, okay? Just imagine, again, you know, it's dark. The Bible says that Moses is on a mountain. He's on the backside. And he's out there with the animals, and all of a sudden there's this burning bush, and out of that burning bush God says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. So God says, listen, Moses, there's a problem. And the problem is the children of Israel are in bondage. They're literally in slavery. And God has a different plan for them. God's plan is for them to be free, and God's plan is for them to go to what's called the promised land, the land that He promised them. So that there's a problem, and there's a plan, but there's got to be a person. There's got to be a leader. You know, God uses leaders, right? God calls leaders to do his work and to lead his people. And here's what God did. God invited Moses to be that leader. Verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. There it is. God's invitation to Moses. He said, Moses, listen, come. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, in this passage, God invites Moses to become involved in his work. I mean, this is God's work. God is the one that made the promise of the promised land, right? It's God's work, all right? And it was God who had to free them out of slavery so they could go to the promised land. And this is God's work that he's doing, but again, God uses people to do his work, right? I mean, God uses people to do his work. And the Bible says here that, listen, God miraculously speaks to Moses out of a burning bush. And God explains how he will lead the Hebrew people from oppression to prosperity. He then commands Moses to take charge over the transition. And I love this. Moses will no longer lead animals. He will lead the people of Israel. And I love this maybe the most. He will no longer run from Pharaoh, but will confront Pharaoh. I mean, at this point in time, he's kind of on the run, right? You know, because of his life, literally, you know, they want to kill him, you know. But he's no longer going to run from Pharaoh. He's actually going to confront Pharaoh. Wow, what an incredible passage. And today I want you to realize, hey, God is working. And he wants you to be part of that work. He's inviting you. And this is so critical to knowing and doing his will. So with that in mind, let's talk about this. And what we're really talking about is there seven different realities for experiencing God. Seven different realities for experiencing God. Now, I didn't make these up myself. These come from a man named Henry Blackaby. And he's the one that came up with these seven realities. And God has used these realities literally to help millions of people all over the world. All right? These realities, the best I can figure out, he released them my senior year of high school, okay? That was a long time ago, okay? And God has just so wonderfully kept these realities alive through books and other means through the years. And so we're actually using a book called Seven Realities of Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And that's part of this series. And right now, if you don't have a copy of that book, we'd love to get you a copy, okay? And you can email me at wecare@capitalbaptist.org. wecare@capitalbaptist.org. And we would love to get you a copy of that book if you'll use it, okay? And what we're doing is we challenge you to do the weekly assignments. And when you get the book, you're going to get the weekly assignments with it, and you're also going to get a little bookmark, okay, that you can use to follow along that includes all seven of the realities. But this diagram here on the screen is a diagram that comes from Henry Blackaby. It comes from that book. And so as you can see, it's drawn out here. And so today, you see the little shaded one there? Number three, it says invitation. See that? The little shaded one says invitation. That's what we're on today. So with that, it means that we have already covered the first two. And so I want to just quickly tell you the first two experiencing God realities. All right, number one is God is always at work around you. All right, that's the foundation right there, that God Almighty is always at work around us. All right, that's number one. Number two, listen, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And I just love those two words at the end, real and personal. God pursues you. All right, he wants to have a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. So if you're going to know and do God's will, you got to make sure those two realities are part of your life. God's always at work around you, and God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And now today, I'm so excited about number three, all right? I've already been talking about it, okay? But I want to put it in a little pithy statement, all right? Experiencing God reality number three. Here it is. Listen, God invites you to become involved with him in his work. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. So you're ready? God's inviting you. Will you say yes? Will you get involved? I hope and pray you will do just that. And I want to help you do that today. Now, when you see the statement, his work, boy, that's a pretty big statement. So I want to kind of narrow it down for you a little bit, okay? I want to talk about what exactly is God's work. What exactly is God's work? When you're talking about getting involved in God's work, what do you think that means? Well, I want to give you two things that I think are certainly a major part of God's work. And that is, number one, become involved with God in what we call the Great Commandments. I mean, if you're going to get involved in God's work, listen, you got to get involved in the Great Commandments. And it was Jesus who said there were two commandments, all right? He called them the greatest of the commandments. And they're found in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, where Jesus was actually asked the question, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" I mean, if you know this passage, they were trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to hurt Jesus, but he wasn't going to be hurt, okay? He answered the question, verse 37. Jesus said to him, and here it is, the greatest of the great, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And listen to what Jesus says. This is the first and great commandment. But it's interesting to know Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus went on to say, listen, there's another one. And I like the word, phrase, it's like it. In other words, the first and the second are just tied together. And that is, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, what Jesus was saying by that is you could literally, and you can, for example, the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to go far on this. I just want to just point it out. You can look at it. But if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first few you could put in the category of loving God. All right? It talks about, talks about not having any idols before God, etc. Then you could put the rest of them in the category of loving people, like don't murder, don't steal. Things like that. In other words, you could take the whole, commandments of God and put them in these two categories, love God and love people. And really, the bottom line is, if you're going to be involved in God's work, you got to be loving God. And to me, that's worship. And it's being, part of what I call 24/7 worship, a lifestyle of worship where your life is just one of loving God. That's God's work, that we would be loving him. And then listen, you cannot love God and hate people, all right? I mean, that's why I said the second's like to it. And certainly God's work involves people, loving people, caring for people, giving your life and investing in people. I mean, when I talk about doing God's work, I'm talking about loving God. I'm talking about loving people. But that's not all. A second area of God's work is become involved with God in the Great Commission not only the great commandments, but also the great commission. Now, you say, what is the great commission? Well, they're the words that Jesus spoke. These are words that Jesus spoke at the very end, right before he went back up into heaven, all right? I mean, you know, last words are always important words, right? I mean, when somebody says the last thing on their deathbed or whatever, you know, you remember it, right? Okay, you remember those final words, all right? And I'll never forget, as I'm recording this, my mother passed recently, okay? And I remember the last time we left her, her last words were, "Bring the children." And she was talking about her my grandchildren, her great grandchildren. She has two sons, and I'm talking about she was talking about the nine grandchildren that are part of my life, my children's children. I'll never forget that. Bring the children. Okay, that was the last thing she said. I'll never forget that. Okay, you know, last words are important words. You know, and Jesus saved some special last words, because they were to be important. And here they are. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Jesus says, listen, I got the authority. I got the power. In other words, what he's really saying is, I'm getting ready to tell you something you got to do that's big. But I want you to know I got the authority to make it happen. And that is, go. Go therefore. And here's the heart of this passage. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make fully devoted followers. Do it of all the nations, the whole wide world, all the people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Listen, hey, God's work is the Great Commission. And he wants not just pastors and missionaries, every Christian is to be involved in the Great Commission. Every one of us are to be involved in making disciples, making fully devoted followers of Christ. And that means you got to go. To me, that's bring. You got to go and bring people to Christ. And then he says, baptizing them. I call that belong. Help people get connected and belong specifically to a local church. And part of that connection is teaching them to obey all of God's word. Are you involved in the Great Commission? Are you doing everything you can to help make disciples? Are you on the go? Are you telling people about Jesus? I mean, God's work was a work of redemption. God says, listen, there's a broken relationship because of sin. Sin caused a broken relationship. And God says, I want to use you to bridge that gap. Jesus is going to die. He's going to be the bridge. But I want you to help bring people across that bridge. I want you to reach out to people. And listen, it's not just about decisions. It's about disciples. He didn't say go make decisions. He didn't say, you know, just get people saved. He said go make disciples. That means people need to be sanctified. It means people need to be holy. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what is God's work. It's loving God. It's loving people. It's going. It's making disciples. It's winning people to Jesus. It's baptizing. It's teaching. This is God's work. He's inviting you to be part of it. So how? How can you accept God's invitation? You ready? Here we go. How can you accept it? Number one, actively watch for God working around you. Now, you know what? We've mentioned this every single sermon. If you've been following the whole series, all right, maybe this is your first sermon in the series. But if you've been following the whole sermon, we keep going back here because this is the foundation. All right, you got to be on the watch. You know, if you're going to know and do God's will, you got to be alert. Okay, you got to be alert because the Bible says in Philippians 2:13. Listen to this: for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You see, God is working, all right? And he's working in you. And what is God working in you? He is working his will, okay? It's his will. You know, the big idea here is not, you know, God, what is your will for me? It's just flat out, what is God's will? What is God's will? And he wants to use your life for his good pleasure. Life is not about self. It's about him. The Bible says we're to die to self, that he might live through us. And our lives are to bring pleasure to him. And so the idea here is you got to be on the lookout, okay? You got to be on the lookout. And so I want to encourage you to pray this. Pray this. God, show me where you are working today, and I will join you. Isn't that an awesome prayer? Okay. God, show me where you're working, and I'm going to join you today. I'm going to join you today. You want to accept God's invitation? Be on the watch. Be on the watch. And listen, allow God to interrupt your life, okay? I mean, when you're on the watch, you know, you don't know what God's going to do, okay? And he might take you down a whole different path than you expected to go. Let him interrupt your life, all right? Number two, allow God to use your gifts for his purposes. Now, this is really important, all right? So when we get involved in God's work, God equips us to do his work, all right? This is critically important to understand. And what it is, the Bible says God gives us what's called spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And here's what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11a. And listen to this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, that's verse 10. Now look at verse 11. 1 Peter 4, 11a. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Listen to this, that in all things God may be glorified. Now, today, what we're talking about now, this is one of my deepest passions right here, okay? So I could just, honestly, I could go on a long time on this verse. This is one of my, because listen, you knowing your gifts and using them will bring so much joy to your life. And this is where you'll be most effective. So God wants us involved in his work, but listen, the way he wants us to do it is using the spiritual gifts that he gives us. And I just want to point out what this verse tells us. Number one, it says each one's received a gift. All right, so the bottom line is, you say, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do, all right? Yes, you do. God gives every Christian at least one spiritual gift. And I frankly, I mean, honestly, I doubt that I'm sure there's people out there, but I've probably talked to more people about spiritual gifts than anybody you've actually ever met. I'm sure maybe on earth there's people, maybe have talked to as many people, if not more. But I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people about this, one-on-one, all right? And I've come to the conclusion most people have about three primary spiritual gifts. But you got at least one, according to God. And the Bible says, and I love this, minister it to one another. It. What do you minister with? You minister with your gift. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 11, listen to this. It says, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So listen, this is exciting, okay? God doesn't expect me to do everything, all right, in his work, because I can't do everything. You know what he wants me to do? He wants me to contribute, all right, the gifts, which are abilities that God has given me to use for him, all right? That's the it, all right? That's the it. And like for me, I mean, my three primary spiritual gifts, one is exhortation. I'm an encourager. I'm a motivator. You know, I'm a how-to practical person. Administration. I mean, I can handle so much stuff, okay? So I can handle a huge load of administration because that's a gift of mine, okay? It's a gift of mine. And then also, It's called pastor shepherd. That's the heart of a shepherd. And you don't have to be in the office of a pastor to have that gift, by the way. Okay, basically, it's your God is giving you a gift to shepherd some of His people. Okay, this is where I need to be serving. All right, this is where God expects me to serve. He wants me to use that for Him. Okay, and here's what is important. Be a good steward. Now, steward is a manager of what belongs to another. And most of the time we talk about money, we're going to talk about money next, all right? But we usually think about stewardship with money. That's okay, but it's not the total picture. God is going to require you, and He's going to, listen, judge you as a steward of whether you use the gifts He gave you, all right? Whether you use the gifts He gave you. And so you need to be willing to use those gifts. And here's what I love. Through that, God gets the glory. And why does God get the glory? Because here's the deal, okay? He gets the glory because He's the one that gave us these gifts. And every one of us by ourselves are limited, all right? If this whole church had to function around my gifts, we would be an utter failure, okay? Because there's so many things I cannot do, I'm not gifted to do, that are important and must get done, okay? They must get done. But God's calling other people with those gifts to make it happen. And the bottom line is, we say, God, You get the glory, because we know without You bringing us all together, it couldn't get done. Amen? Amen? This is where God wants you to serve Him. God Almighty wants you to use your gifts. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:14a, do not neglect the gift that's in you. Listen, are you neglecting the gift that's in you? And I know some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard this stuff. I get it, okay? I remember the first time I heard it. Boy, it was just so mind-blowing, really. I mean, I never heard this stuff before, all right? But here's the deal. I want to help you, okay? I want to help you. And so today I want to encourage you. And by the way, I'm giving you a real practical step on each of these. All right. So the first one was pray. Pray God will show where you're working. Pray God, show me where you're working today, and I will join you. All right. The second real practical daily step you can take is complete what's called a purple folder. Now, that's kind of insider language for Capital. All right. So let me explain to you what it means, all right? We put together some resources, some paperwork, if you will, all right, that help people determine their spiritual gifts and how they should serve. And we put this together years ago, and honestly, I said, let's come up with a color folder. And I don't know, just so happened we had some purple folders that day. And honestly, ever since then, that's what we always put it in. All right, I call it the purple folder. But really what it is, it's some paperwork. And if you contact me, wecare@capitalbaptist.org, wecare@capitalbaptist.org, and you want to figure out your gifts, I will help you do that, okay? We'll mail you a purple folder, all right? Just let me know, okay? This is how you get involved in God's work. He's inviting you to get involved, right? But He wants you to use your gifts. And then thirdly, God wants to invite you to allocate your finances to build God's church. So part of God's work, quite frankly, involves money. It involves money. And God expects us to allocate some of our finances to build God's church. And I love Matthew 16:18. And I love it in so many different ways. One thing I think about is this is the first time the word church, the actual word church, is used in the Bible. And here's what Jesus said. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I mean, Jesus says, listen, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to build my church. And listen, the gates of Hades, hell, is not going to prevail against it. I mean, Jesus tells us two things. Number one, it's my church. It's not Steve Reynolds' church. It's not your church. It's His church. And he says, listen, it's my church, and you know what? That means we ought to do it his way. And his way is right here in this book right here, okay? It really doesn't matter what Steve Reynolds thinks, all right? It really doesn't matter, all right? This isn't my church, all right? This is how we are to live our lives right here, okay? And he says, listen, you do it my way, you will prevail, okay? You will win, okay? You will be victorious. God wants to build his church. But honestly, in his plan, the truth is that it takes money to build his church. That's how he designed it, okay? He has all the money, you know that, right? But he decided, okay, I'm gonna let you give it, okay? I'm going to let you give it. And the way the church is funded, and what you got to understand about churches, or at least our church, and pretty much every church, is what we call, it's member supported, okay? Attender supported. The people who call Capital their spiritual home, this is who we rely on to take care of the church, to fund the church, okay? We don't have any outside organization, okay, that gives us money, all right? Nobody else, I'll use the word cares, to be frank with you, okay, about this church, all right? We rely on people like you, people like me, all right? And the Bible teaches us the way that's done is through what's called the tithe. That's the 10%, okay? And Hebrews 7:8 says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. And the Bible says that, listen, we need to receive the tithes. And mortal men receive them. And what that means is I'm a mortal man, meaning I'm calling on you to be a tither right now. I'm saying, you know, give 10% of your gross income to God through the local church in a cheerful manner. I believe that's a biblical giver, okay? Give 10% of your the first 10% of your gross income to God through the local church with a cheerful attitude, all right? That's a whole sermon in itself, or a series, actually, okay? I'm a mortal man. I'm going to die. One day there'll be somebody else up here asking you to tithe, okay? But it's me today. But, you know, when we give it to heaven, right? He receives the tithes, all right? And part of the way we get involved in God's work is by giving. And so here's the practical step. Give to fund leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus. Now, I carefully crafted that statement, all right? What are you giving to? What are we giving to? We're giving to a church that is changing lives, that's leading people in a growing relationship with Jesus, okay? Today I had a lady, she'd been coming to our church quite some time. She just sat there literally weeping, just talking about the impact that this church has had on her family, all right, her life. And quite frankly, I you know, almost every week of my life, I have that joy of hearing those kinds of testimonies. Get involved in God's work by giving and tithing and being generous. And then lastly, as we close, and here's the bottom line, act immediately in obedience to God's invitation. Hey, when God invites you to get involved in his work, do it, okay? Do it. John 14:21, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know, when I see that verse, what word comes to my mind? Intimacy. Intimacy. You know, God wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. A love, like we've already talked about, you know, in reality number two. That love relationship. And listen, at the heart of that love relationship is obedience. Is obedience. And he says here, listen, if you got my commandments and you got his commandments right here in his word, if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, I will give you a Bible, okay? Just email me, wecare@capitalbaptist.org. You say, I don't have his commandments. Well, I'll make sure you got his commandments. Email me, wecare@capitalbaptist.org. They're right here, okay? We have them, and we need to keep them. And it says if you keep them, it's a demonstration that you love him, okay? That you love him. And as you obey his commandments and show love for him, you'll have an intimacy with him of a love relationship with God. And some of you are far from God today because of disobedience. Come on. Come on back to him. Have an intimate relationship with him. And so here's the final really practical thing. RSVP yes to whatever God is inviting you to do. You know, a lot of our invitations we get have they say RSVP, you know. You know, you get a wedding invitation that a lot of times they'll have a card there you fill out, you know, or whatever, or online. Most invitations, a lot of those are online today. And RSVP is a French term. I honestly can't even pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try, okay? But it's from French, and it means please respond. Please respond. And I'm saying to you today, RSVP. I'm saying to you, please respond. Please respond. And God's inviting you to be part of his work, and I'm inviting you to please respond, all right? And I want you to RSVP yes. Say yes. God invited Moses to be part of his work. God is inviting you to be part of his work. And here are four different ways to do that. Number one, actively watch for God working around you. All right? Allow him to interrupt your life. All right? Number two, allow God to use your gifts for his purposes. Number three, allocate your finances to build God's church. And number four, act immediately in obedience to God's invitation. Hey, bottom line, accept God's invitation.